I will call the Recreation Committee meeting to order. Today is Wednesday, January the 10th. It's 9 a.m. I think I previously welcomed you all to other committee meetings, but I will offer that welcome here. I will chair the meeting since we do not have a full committee today. Councilmember Buchanan is out of town, and then we'll get through the agenda. We do have election of chair and vice chair on here, but we will put that on the agenda for next month's meeting. The first order of business is approval of previous meeting's minutes. Is there a motion to approve those minutes?
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is...
He assured me he would be here. I'm sorry.
Okay. The next item on the agenda is consideration of beach wrestling as a city-sponsored event. Coach Kevin Bayer, if he shows up late, then maybe we'll return to this item on the agenda. We'll just refrain from discussing it until he shows up and has his opportunity to give a pitch. This is something that also typically would be on the public safety agenda as well. However, his inquiry to us and desire to be on the agenda came in after we had already set the agenda, so we couldn't put him on the public safety agenda. Next item is departmental report for October through December. I think most of us were probably involved in everything that you're going to talk about
exactly.
Or close to. But for that, we'll turn it over to Director Page to give her report.
Well, welcome aboard, both of you.
Thank
not
you.
Only to council, but also to the Rec Committee. This is the fun committee.
Right.
this is probably the easiest committee, or I hope it will be the easiest committee that you will serve on. We'll certainly try to make it that way. I'll probably talk a little bit more today about some of this stuff than I normally do. I know both of you are, you know, aware of the Recreation Department and some of the things that we do, but I think there's a lot that we do that you're not aware of. Obviously, you know about the Holiday Street Festivals and the Easter Egg Hunts and the Halloween Carnivals and those type of things. But I've been in this business a long time. You can see the gray hair. And my definition of recreation is anything that you do in your spare time. And I think that is recreation. Some of it's not good, but a lot of it is good. And that's how we try to serve the community. We're a small department. We cater to our residents as much as we can. And you'll see on some of this that, for instance, we have a wood carving group. Where else do you have a wood carving group or a group that comes to the rec center and wood carve? They socialize and they carve wood and challenge each other and probably catch up on gossip. I'm not sure exactly what they do. And then we have a group of ladies that come in, and it's not just four ladies. Gentlemen can join too, but we have a group on Monday mornings that's called the Gather Knit. And they just come in, and they crochet, and they knit, and they cross-stitch, and they gossip, and they bring cookies. And a lot of it's about socialization as much as what they do. So we're always open to these ideas. People come in the office oftentimes and say, I think we should have a whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, then we try to do it, if it at all possible. Sometimes it's successful, sometimes it isn't. But we, because we all are a small department, we're able to cater to our residents more than larger departments. And I think you'll find that true in a lot of things we do. But just to go through a couple of things, athletics, as you know, we have Susan probably, well, you probably do too, but she has children still in the program. We have youth athletics, we have adult athletics. Right now, our basketball was supposed to start this past week. Obviously, it's been postponed. Our games actually start tonight for our 5, 6, 7, and 8s. And then I think tomorrow night's our 9, 10, and then 11 and up.
Were you supposed to start on Saturday with games?
Mm-hmm.
So it got pushed.
It did. Mm-hmm. We had photos last night. Team photos were last night. So it's a little bit crazy at the rec at night, but that's okay. That's what it's all about. And then, of course, we have adult softball, 3-on-3 basketball, 6v6 soccer. We have a table tennis league, and where there are about 10 or 12 players in that. And it's pretty competitive. You'd be surprised. And, of course, we also have adult co-ed volleyball. You can see on the youth athletics, we always put the numbers, the how many residents versus non-residents. Mm-hmm. Something interesting about the youth athletics, we have a deal, if you will, with Sullivan's Island, that they're allowed to register the same week as residents. Residents have a week by themselves that they register for athletics. And then we base the number of teams and players on the number of residents we get. Obviously, we have to have enough to have leagues, so it does take some non-residents in order to do that. And the non-residents are Sullivan's Island folks, too. Most of them probably are Sullivan's Island. They pay a $5 non-resident fee, but they're still allowed to register. Only for athletics. Mm-hmm. This isn't summer camp or any of those, but for athletics, we have an agreement with Sullivan's Island that we work with them. We embrace them in our programs. That's one of the reasons in the past that the non-residence fee hasn't gone up, because they do not have a recreation center, and we want them to be a part of us since we are one island, even though it's two separate municipalities. And regardless of what a lot of people think, there aren't a lot of Mount Pleasant people that come over here and participate in our athletics, maybe the little children, 3 or 4 year olds, but we aren't inundated or overwhelmed Mount Pleasant people. So,
and those younger, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
In the younger programs, guessing that's you're filling a niche that Mount Pleasant doesn't necessarily offer, some of those same programs, like I think Fast Start Soccer.
Right, right. Fast Start Soccer and Baseball.
For the younger
we don't
ages.
Do basketball. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
But,
yeah.
I think that answers my question, which is why do you think it is that those, and you can even see the numbers on here with youth registration, why more Mount Pleasant folks participate in the younger kids things? And it sounds like Mount Pleasant just doesn't offer that.
They do not offer it. I've talked with them several times about offering it, but I cannot answer why they do not. Other their reason to me was they didn't have the space to do it.
They're strapped, I think.
They are. They are. And it's difficult. I mean, you think of Mount Pleasant, they have a huge rec center, and they have a lot of facilities, a lot of fields. But they have a lot of youth playing and a lot of adults playing. So you have to be real creative with, I mean, we have to be creative.
Scheduling.
We use the soccer field for the Fast Start. We put one on every corner. Mm-hmm. Because we're kind of strapped for space too, but we do our best to make it work. Moving on to programs, just like you've done, anytime you have a question, please feel free to ask. We just kind of listed all the classes that we offer, so you get an idea of how much, and I think you should be, if you aren't, you should be impressed at the amount of programs that the Isle of Palms staff offer the community. You know, we are a small staff, and they work very, very hard to make these things happen. But just an idea of some of the things. Most of them are users' fees. The other thing we do, for instance, like Barn Moor, our boot camps, our exercise classes, and other classes, we've arranged the pay scale so that for folks visiting, if they're visiting here for a week or just a day, we have walk-in rates. We've even broken it down. Some of them we have weekly rates so that folks that are visiting Isle of Palms, it's an advantage to them as opposed to just having a monthly fee for classes. So we've broken a lot of our classes down that direction. Some of the classes, some of the personal training, like the Boshu and the Fit 50s, wherever that is, Fit Body and 50, those are actual kind of a personal training, so there's probably 6 in the class, and that's a continuous thing. I don't think we have walk-ins for those.
Okay. Now, for the programs where there's a trainer, I understand, they pay a fee to the city, and then...
Yes, I was going to ask Norma Jean to comment about what the way that structure is, mm-hmm. is handled in terms of our instructors, so that when we get to budgeting and everything, they'll be seeing those numbers and try to understand them.
Okay. All the instructors at the recreation department are actually city employees.
Okay.
It's probably in the city's best interest. To contract out an employee of an instructor, they would have to provide us with a certificate of insurance. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these classes, I don't think it would be worth the instructor's while to mm-hmm. do that. Mm-hmm. It's not like any of them make a whole lot of money, but it is the method that all the recreation departments in the area do.
Sure.
And then they get 70% of the revenues generated from their class. So if they go out and they get 20 people in their class, then obviously their pay is going to be more than if they only have 10. That gives them an incentive not only to teach a good class, but also to
recruit,
if you will.
Are all of the clubs and programs considered classes, like the knit and stitch thing and the woodworking, are those classified somewhat differently, or is there an instructor leading those programs?
Good question.
Yeah. Some are non-pay.
They are non-pay. Uh-huh. The Gather Knit is just a group that come in, and there's no fee, there's no instructor.
They're just using the space.
It's one of our programs where we provide an opportunity for folks to come in and do that. The woodworking is the same, wood carving. And let's see, I've got another one.
Mahjong,
same thing. A writing class. A group of them just come in and they practice their writing skills and they help each other with writing. At one time we did have bridge and it just kind of dwindled out, but that's something that might happen again.
Well, I think also the exchange club got really aggressive with bridge club, so I think that probably siphoned. Once a week, the parking lot there is packed, and that's what it is. Okay. Is bridge.
Well, they can probably smoke and drink.
Probably so.
We don't allow that at the rectifier.
No, we do not. There are days that we might
want to. My beast attendance.
No. Yeah. The Wellness Walkers, same thing, that's Friday. Or a group of seniors come and they walk and socialize, maybe socialize more than walk, but that's okay. I'm trying to see if there's another one here.
While you're looking, the other thing that you might want to explain that would be good for them to know as new members of council would be the whole notion of renting the rec center.
Okay. We do not reserve or rent any part of the facilities, whether it's outside or inside.
We get that request a lot, and you guys will get approached with requests.
You will.
That. We just do not do it.
It's there's a lot of, I have done it in a previous job, and there's a lot of disadvantages to it. You know, obviously there's can be some revenues made, but there's a lot of damages and scheduling challenges anytime you rent a facility. So we just don't do it at all. Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, not. We just don't do it. I would encourage you not to start that. What we try to do is trying to think of the word steer them towards the Exchange Club, which rent their facilities. We steer them toward the churches that have fellowship halls.
And we, as Desiree's saying, we accommodate in a different way. Like if you use the example of, and I can't think of the name of the thing now, but the oceans thing about the coral.
Yes, the screening of the ocean. The
you know, so they didn't rent coral. That facility, but we were able to have that event there. And so it's just sometimes for something like that, somebody will approach the city about renting it, and we
offered it as one of our programs, and promoted it through our marketing, sort of like partnership. You know, at one time we went to Trident Tech and had them to come in and teach some classes for us until we could get going a little bit more when we first opened the facility. They didn't go that well, but you know, we had programs offered. So you know, we do partner with some groups to make things happen. But we just don't rent or lease or reserve the facility.
How would you differentiate between a group, say like the Wellness Walkers or the Mahjong Club, who says, hey, we want to use the space, versus the other groups that you described? Like,
it becomes our program. If it's a program that we think is worthwhile, then we'll adopt it. We'll accept it and we make it happen. It's our program.
Gotcha.
So we dictate where they meet, what they do in their meeting. I mean, we have control over over those meetings. Whereas if you lease a space or you reserve a space.
Like for Girl Scouts.
Right.
Because that's an outside group.
That's correct.
That you.
Right.
Okay.
And some of these programs, once they approach the rec center or us, and we accommodate as one of our programs, it becomes open to the community.
Right.
Versus when it's a private event or something, you're talking of just one group who uses the rec.
Okay, I gotcha.
Good point, good point.
Well, you know, the other thing that we would have a problem with if we rented is the whole First Amendment situation of how do we differentiate from one group to the next. And a group came forward that might not be appropriate for being around small children, or might be something that would be extremely adverse to our community. If we have opened it to everybody, then we have a hard time turning those people away. Mm-hmm. Whereas if we just have a policy that we don't do it at all, then that's not something we have to deal with.
Okay.
Sure.
A challenge that we do have, particularly the outside, because there's nothing secure outside. It's, you know, open courts. We are challenged occasionally with finding people giving personal training classes outside, or trying to conduct tennis classes or personal training in basketball and things of that nature. So we have to keep our eye pretty good on the outside. And it's pretty obvious when something organized is going on outside, but that's probably one of our challenges, because it is open and there's nothing to say that a group of people can't go out there and play basketball or can't play soccer. But if there's any money involved with officiating and things of that nature, then
the distinction
then becomes,
is with
money.
The money exactly. becomes the
but issue. So what though if you have a group from the school, like a school team?
I know where you're going.
How do you officially handle that? If it's not a money thing, but it is...
It's kind of a gray area, because what happens is people identify that as our program, and because it is organized. So it's kind of a gray area, and when you have someone conducting something, we haven't done the background checks.
That's the other thing that we do.
We do backgrounds on all of our volunteers, all our coaches, all of our employees are part-time. So it's kind of a gray area. We say no, but I know it happens.
Hmm. We do also try to accommodate. We don't let there be interference with our ongoing programs, but we also try to accommodate. Sometimes these traveling teams will come in for tournaments, and they're staying on the island in a house or in Wild Dunes as a group. So like softball, lacrosse, these traveling teams involved in tournaments, if we've got space to allow them to practice, we will try to coordinate with them to do that, which is kind of interesting because you see people coming from all over the United States.
Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, mostly women's softball.
But do they pay? No. It's more to be hospitable because they're staying on the island?
Correct. Mm-hmm. We do direct some of our tourism funds, accommodations funds, towards some of the activities at the rec, and doing these kinds of things
helps justify
helps to give us the justification that this facility is not just used by residents.
In the past, some of those teams, their parents have helped us paint dugouts and thing that, you know, while they're here.
They'll say, what can we do?
Yeah, they've helped us do some projects. So we don't have as many as we used to, but we do have some occasion.
I had a question about somebody had brought up to me during the election about if there was a senior discount for like not the senior exercise class, but other exercise classes. Have you guys ever had anything like that or entertained the thought of offering?
You know,
is that complicated?
Our exercise classes are so affordable now, it's almost ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
We have a free seniors exercise class on Mondays and Wednesdays, and that's a grant program.
Okay.
And the instructor is provided by the county.
Okay.
And we have a waiting list because we can't just limit that to Isle of Palms residents. It has to be open to Charleston County because it is a grant. But we do have a Tuesday and Thursday senior excellence class with the same instructor. The Monday and Wednesday is really designed for our more challenged seniors, mm-hmm. because they're actually, what's the word?
Therapist?
No, at the evaluated. They're evaluated every month to see the progress, how they've progressed.
That's cool.
And their exercise. And you know, there's a lot of the seniors that have pretty much said that class has saved them because she is trained to teach that class.
And this was a suggestion that was coming from more of a young senior mm-hmm. who mm-hmm. is probably going to yoga or, mm-hmm. you know.
I can almost tell you who it is. but if you look at our activity, and I'm sorry, I can't remember all these prices, but if you look at...
Everything's very reasonable. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Total Body Challenge, for instance, is a Monday through Friday 8 to 9 class. And if you go, let's say you go to four classes, it's $14. So if you, that's a little over $3 a class. There is nowhere in this world you're going to be able to go $3 a class. Right.
The yoga classes are what, 10?
Walk in. But if you pay for...
It's even less.
$8 if you pay... Plus. Right.
If you do 8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're so affordable. Personally, I don't think that a senior discount is necessary.
Okay, gotcha. I had told you when at the outset of the election that I was planning to come to all the exercise classes, right. which did not happen.
You still have time.
I think I went to a couple, but it did occur to me that if you've got that walk-in rate, but what if you have someone who wants to figure out what class they mm-hmm. works for them the best. Mm-hmm. Have you ever done any kind of like sampler rate so that maybe for a month somebody could maybe not sign up for one particular class but mm-hmm. kind of try out different classes to find that best fit for them but not have to pay $10?
I understand what you're saying.
Walk in.
And I know where that's coming from. That's difficult. Because
I thought it might be complicated.
It's complicated because I've got to figure out what class they've gone to so I know which instructor to pay uh-huh. for that person being there. Uh-huh. Many times if they go to the instructor and say, I'm good for this class, a lot of times the instructor will let them take it, mm-hmm. you know, just to try it out. Because they won't, you know, they don't want someone in the class that's not there.
Right.
But we have had, people are used to the senior center. And once again, we have youth, middle-aged, old, and really, really old. But the senior center have the software that somehow it divides it up which class they go to.
You're talking about the Mount Pleasant senior center.
Mounts, yeah. And they go and they punch in which class they've gone to. And I've talked with them. It's still difficult for them to, it's still time-consuming to figure out who to pay what to. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where it's coming from. But I think we have to remember we aren't a senior center. Mm-hmm. We're a recreation center.
Oh, well, and I was just right. thinking for anybody, not necessarily right. seniors, but just as right. a way to encourage someone to mm-hmm. get out mm-hmm. there and try different things
right.
and find that right fit for them so that it works and you maybe get one mm-hmm. more person who mm-hmm. is... Mm-hmm. exercising.
Right. And like I said, 9 times out of 10, the instructor... We'll want them to try it. Mm-hmm. So it's, we work with people. Okay. We work with them. Okay? All right, special events. Special events is probably one that you know the most about. We do have a teenagers group. Susan was there last month.
And it's today, too.
And it's today, and I know. I was making coffee and tea at 6:30 this morning, so. But, you know, we have anywhere from 50 to 60 teenagers once a month to attend that. Susan had mentioned it would be a good thing for council to go to. There's some logistical issues there. Let's say you and John both went to the teenagers meeting.
Yeah.
And teenagers started asking you questions about city business or recreation business. All of a sudden mm-hmm. you've got a quorum. You're having a meeting.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So
it needs to follow
that gets complicated
uh-huh.
when... when
I mean, it's certainly anybody is welcome to show up spontaneously, but you don't want to be there as a group, and they will inquire about
they
city
will.
Business.
Okay,
I mean, they're
gotcha.
they're pretty right.
So that's just something to be careful of.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was just thinking from a program standpoint because that's a group that is engaged like with what's going on that they might enjoy and it might build some connections with government.
I see. How do I say this delicately? A lot of them could care less about city politics.
Oh, okay.
They're there to socialize.
Yeah.
They don't want to hear about financial planning. They don't want to hear about death and dying and living wills. They want to eat and be entertained. That's what they want. And they will tell us that.
I thought the program was good.
Yeah,
when I was there the last time.
Yeah, they're real funny because we you know, we've tried to bring some educational things in that we thought the seniors would be helpful for them. Yeah, they are
not so much.
But they're wonderful. And you know, when employees come in, one of the first things I tell them about our seniors and our residents, but particularly our seniors, treat them like your grandparents. Because they are adorable and they are sweet and they're lots of fun. They're quite educational sometimes. I'm getting closer to their age, so it's not quite as funny as it used to be. It's kind of, yeah. So I kind of fit in with them quite a bit, but I had the opportunity since Andy has left us, who did our special events, and he was responsible for teenagers. I had the opportunity to take them to Brook Green Gardens.
And, including this scene.
And Marie went with us. And Marie hit the nail on the head. She said, you need to get hazard pay for that job. But they're a lot of fun. They are a lot of fun. But, you know, when you reach a certain age, and I think I'm almost there, we want it our way. You know, we don't care if it's Burger King or not. We want to do it our way. But it was a lot of fun. It was beautiful, and I thoroughly enjoyed it because I very seldom do that. But
well, and just one quick thing that it just made me think of.
Okay.
There's that trend of trying to bridge the older and younger, like have younger kids engaged with older for the benefit of both. Mm-hmm. Do you guys ever try to involve the preschool program with teenagers?
We do. You know, this is... you know, it's funny, I was talking with someone about this, and it might have been you, but there was someone I was talking to one day that the trend now is getting away from senior centers because the seniors are feeling alienated from the rest of the population, and it's healthier for them to be around younger people and children. In fact, our Gather Knit, I cannot get them to go in a classroom. They are in the lobby. They're doing their thing in the lobby. There's 7 to 10 of them.
See the people come
they want to watch the children come in and out and the people come in and out.
I think that's great.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So the children have done some singing for them things of that nature. So
good.
They also, seniors also help us stuff the candy bags for some of our children's events. And so, yeah, I totally believe in them all being in the same thing.
Cool.
Special events, holiday craft workshop, we just do that every year where folks come in and just make ornaments and just a little artsy and crafty thing. The Holiday Tree Festival went great. I think you all were there, and Andy's last successful event before he left us. We have a cookie workshop, which we had over 80 children there, and I would tell you, I almost get sick every year watching those children. We give them 4 cookies in a to-go box, and we have icing and, I don't know, candy and stuff, and they decorate these cookies. Well, y'all, there's ice and they're sitting there eating it, and I'm apologizing to the parents as they leave because you know it's just going to be sugar around in a minute. But it's really a fun event. Kids love it. Obviously, we had 80 children there, so it's a fun thing.
Sticky.
Oh yeah, it's just, and the rack reeks of sugar. I'm not a big on sweets anyway, but oh, it just reeks.
I'm a veteran. Cookie workshop.
I'm sure.
Yeah, oh, I am too.
And it's free. And anything that was free in the rec center, we were there.
Absolutely.
Well, you were there at a lot of things.
Yes,
then.
We were.
Doggy Day at the Rec is right around the corner. Carrie and I are working on that. Carrie's doing most of the work on that.
If you've never been to that, that is
it's a great event
on your radar. To
you're
attend.
Also a past winner.
There you go. We're changing up. We have fewer categories this year because we felt like the program was going a little long. We're trying to bring in more rescues. We're trying to make it more almost of a doggy wellness pet expo kind of thing. And there are a lot of things we wanted to do. We just didn't have time to do it because, like I said, Carrie and I are mostly Carrie's doing this because we lost Andy.
But you replaced Andy.
Yeah, he came Monday.
Yeah.
So
I just felt like it was important for him to mention.
Weston.
You've mentioned
what's his name. Weston.
Weston.
Weston. I was
Weston,
close.
Weston.
Yeah. Is it with an E or an I?
E.
E. Weston.
Weston.
Okay.
Nice guy. I think he's doing a great job, but right now we've kind of inundated him just trying to get his feet wet and because we're a little bit behind on where I would like to be with these events, but it'll be fine. Dr. Jose is going to do the vaccinations again. We're going to have microchipping available. The police department will be there for the IOP doggy licenses. Years ago, the doggy licenses expired in December, and I think a couple of people got tickets prior to the doggy day. So council did change the expiration on the dog tags for, I think, the end of so that folks could actually get them at this event. So that worked well. So we'll have some of the same things, you know, the free pet photos, and we'll have gift prizes, and our own dog obedience instructor, Susan Merritt, who does an excellent job. Our dog obedience classes are always full. We'll be there for a Q&A. You know, anybody has any questions, she will work with them. She's one of the best in the area, by the way.
We have taken those classes.
Front Beach Fest is, that's the one I'm working on. It's going to be on Saturday, March the 3rd. We're going to have the Tams back. Mm-hmm. And I just talked with the Holiday Band. Is that their name? The Holiday Band. They're going to be performing from 12 to 2 and Tams from 2 to 4. The arts and crafters are coming in. All the vendors are coming in, and so looking forward to that event.
You don't have any trouble getting vendors to those things, I take it.
We do not.
Yeah.
In fact,
is there a wait list?
There is. I don't think there's one yet for this one, but we kind of approve them. They send their information in, because I don't want all jewelry, and I don't want all seashell art. So we kind of pick and choose of the, you know, to make sure we have a good variety.
Yeah.
And it seems like so far we have,
Those, all of those festivals are always fantastic.
Thank you. I hope this one is just as fantastic. If it isn't, it's my fault. It's totally going to be my fault. Easter egg hunt, obviously, is a huge, huge event. Saturday, March 31st at 10 o'clock sharp. And it'll be very similar to our past. We'll have the inflatables and so on and so forth. And then we have a community yard sale, which we'll have at least 50 folks participate in that. We started that, it may have been my first, maybe my second year here, but this lady came to me, I still remember her last name. It was,
The one you can't remember now.
Yeah, I know. It was just there. It was like, not Rudd. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do, but I'm going to ask you to keep going because you have another meeting that starts at
10. Okay, okay. So anyway, so she lived in Wild Dunes. They can't have yard sales. She said, can we have one? I said, why don't we do... Right. So we did.
Yeah, it's also fantastic.
What's the date on that?
14th, April 14th. And some of the other things we do that are city-related, not necessarily recreation-related... We do keep the information boards at the connector and breach inlet updated. They're called different things. I call them the information boards. We help clean some of the beach access paths sometimes. 21st, you had the drop off, and we help push sand up. We decorated Front Beach for the Holiday Street Festival. We put bows on the street signs. Of course, we installed the Christmas tree on Front Beach. And we secured some sponsors of holiday light displays. We didn't get them all sponsored this year, but we did. Get some of them sponsored. Also on there, I have a graph of the cardio room. You know, there has been some talk of a fitness room. And so we've been keeping the numbers. I think the difference in a cardio room and a fitness room, cardio, all we have is cardio. Fitness room would be resistance equipment and things of that nature, which I think would draw a different demographics than what we draw in the cardio room. Cardio room, I think, is probably more people my age, maybe a little bit younger, whereas a fitness room, I think, would get the 30s, 30 through 50 age group. So I just put those numbers in there so you can just see what kind of usage we have. Very small room, but it's used quite frequently. And I think you can see that. I brought you activity guides so you could look at some of the programming. I brought you a calendar so you could see the scheduling. Mm-hmm. The activity guide is on our website. This is more of a tool for us when people come into the rec center. We can hand it to them, and something that I can glance at in my office as well. So, if you have any more questions, I'll be glad to try to answer those.
When will you produce this for February and subsequent? Like, if we wanted to get a copy of this,
I guess the end of January. I don't have a magic date. I'm sorry, but we probably try to have it out the last week in January.
Okay.
Most of these classes don't change that much.
Yeah, so this is a pretty good.
This is a pretty good tool because almost all these classes are continuous classes, and they go month after month after month. We do throw some new ones in there, but typically most of our classes are pretty continuous.
Okay.
I want to quickly mention something that I think you mentioned it maybe a month or two ago to me about having an information tent in some of these events. Where we can provide city information to residents in a more accessible way. Uh-huh. And we have talked about it at staff level. Obviously, I don't think it will work in every single event. Uh-huh. But for example, a holiday street festival, we could have an information tent where people can just walk in and ask questions about dog licensing or garbage schedule, and we can provide that information to them. Coyote information.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes it's tricky to schedule staff to man those because it would be in an overtime basis, or, you know, if rec staff is already committed within the event. But we've talked about having it as a goal for this year to have one tent with information so that people, and we'll see how, if we think it's worth it and people are engaging with it, we'll continue to do it.
Even disaster preparedness.
Disaster preparedness.
Our disaster expos. Yeah. Are not attracting community. We might have one or two people there, but the majority of the people are, you know, either relatives of people who are exhibiting or their city staff or relatives of city staff. Mm-hmm. So we thought this something like this would be a way to provide an ability. Our citizens are there anyway for the
to
event.
Capture them.
Yeah. And so, you know, if we had, you know, giveaways and things that would,
I think you're going to have to be creative with it because
you
know people are not there to be educated.
No.
They're there because it's
to
a street
have
party.
Fun. Yeah.
So you know I don't know.
Yeah.
I think
but
you
if
have
it's
to,
happened to the freebies kind of thing.
Yes.
Make them want to get the information.
Want to come?
It's going to have to be.
I don't think that was me.
No.
But
I think
it's an idea worth considering. But yeah, on the flip side, though, I as a festival goer myself, I'm not sure if I personally, but then I'm fairly in tune with what's going on in the city already.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whereas maybe somebody who isn't might see that as an opportunity to learn more about what's going on, different stuff.
You know, I was thinking maybe what's the word? Something like Music in the Park might be a better venue because it isn't so active and it's more, what's the word? More low key than people might be more interested in information.
Well, obviously not all of them, but I think it's a way to increase citizen engagement and just people feel that we're coming to them with information and not expecting them to come to City Hall.
And the community night out, that seems to get bigger.
National night out.
National night out. That seems to get big every year. Last year, I was just, because we've been going to it, I think, in the past few years, but last year I noticed that it was a huge turnout.
It's the time of year and the fact that there's free food.
I know, free helicopter.
Because it's like, kids, there's dinner, and you can get in the bouncy house.
And even with these information tents, I think that's what we have to do. We have to plug into inexpensive, useful swag that also conveys a message. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we can give away coyote whistles, coyote hazing whistles, or something like that to people that gets the message out, hey, you're supposed to haze.
And there's something that you can do.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And here's a tool to do it with.
You know, medicine, things for people to take medicine, those expanding little glasses that say, you know, call 911 if you have an emergency.
Or the city's non-emergency
number. Yeah, and a non-emergency number on the back. Just inexpensive swag that that will help to convey a message, but it's, you know, also a takeaway, too.
Yeah. Yeah, you could have, and I think they did that night out in terms of the police officers. I think they were doing some kind of trivia, maybe, and then giving away.
Right.
But you could even have like a learn about your city.
Right.
Spin the, you know, trivia thing that you get prizes for.
Yeah.
And it might help engage people. And they might learn something.
But they Are you close to the end?
I'm the end.
Okay. So if no one has any more questions, we have no old business and no new business, and the only miscellaneous business that we have is to set the February meeting date, and so we should try to get that done.
Well, and so if I have something that I would like to see us look at, an issue, or where is the appropriate place for me to mention that.
You're like talking about on this agenda?
For
future agendas.
Yeah.
Okay, so we should put it on an agenda. Because you have placeholders of old business, new business, and miscellaneous business, does not mean that if you have some, it has to be on here.
So I need to let you know in advance
and
place
it
on here.
So it can get placed on the agenda. You know, for a while, the city had some struggles with people thinking that miscellaneous business was a place where you could just talk
Everybody
about anything.
It
has to appear on the agenda. This is this outline is just what the code says the outline of the meetings are. So, you know, we put it there, but you can't just bring something up because that shows up on there.
Okay.
You have to actually put it on the agenda to be able to do that.
Okay.
So for a future agenda, let us know.
Okay.
And we try to post agendas at least 24 hours in advance.
Well, we're required to do 24
hours. Yeah, we're required, but we usually do them before.
Yeah.
And once a chair is selected, usually the chair will send Marie and Linda will set the agenda. We've always encouraged, and it's always done, that the chair will share that with the rest of the committee and ask them for suggestions of agenda items, and that happens. And
just can't talk about them.
Yes.
All you can say is,
but
XYZ, I'd like to see XYZ on the agenda.
Okay, gotcha.
So, February, what works and what, is this time of day good for everybody, or would you prefer a different time of day?
I'd like to see us push it to 4 like we did with the real property.
Okay.
And that's fine with me. I doubt, well, I don't know if Ryan has a preference, but probably not.
We'll find out next time.
Yeah, that's
So how is Wednesday the 7th at 4?
We are both at the...
Oh, yeah, yeah, the Municipal Association. Yeah. I got it right here on my calendar. I'm going, what's H-L-A-D? And then, you know, I should have put M-A-S-C on.
We already have Monday Public Safety and Thursday Real Property.
Correct, both of those at 4.
At 4,
yeah.
And then, so could we do Monday the 12th at 4?
I think that's fine for me.
I can cancel that meeting.
So are we doing all our meetings at 4 o'clock now? Is that what's happening?
It seems to be what's happening.
Okay.
Well, I think, I know there's a sentiment to try to make it easier for the public to come to them. I think it's what
Jimmy
I would just offer
yesterday.
This, and I've offered it to the mayor too, because I have been doing this almost 4 years now. I would offer that you observe, and if you do not see great attendance popping up from citizens, then you may want to reverse your thinking and go, maybe they would come first thing in the morning before they go to work.
Well, that's true.
I've lived over here for a long time and raised my family over here, and I can tell you, once I got home with my kids at night,
that's true,
and picked them up, I wasn't going back out. And I am an activist.
For recreation, 9 o'clock might not be a bad time for
because you're
family.
Getting into basketball practices, baseball practice, you're getting into dinner, you're getting into ballet, you're getting into tennis classes. You're really getting into a time that's extremely busy for parents that have children, the people that would be interested.
9 o'clock.
I think the interest is beyond just parents. I mean, obviously parents, but
of course, of course.
I mean, we can do it. I would just ask that you spend the next year observing. If it is not increasing attendance at meetings, then you may want to consider rethinking it. Might not be accomplishing your goal.
Is it better for staff to have the meetings earlier? Does it make a difference?
It's better for the staff to meet between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. Anything after that for certain members of the staff is overtime.
Okay, so it could be even more expensive to have staff on hand.
And again, we're all fine with that. None of the city staff is adverse to working whenever it's necessary to work.
Right.
None of the city staff.
Right.
But the point is, if it's contrary to what you're trying to accomplish, and it's costing more, and it's exhausting the staff, then you might want to rethink that. That maybe lack of attendance and lack of engagement by the community may not be related to time of meetings. Mm-hmm. So I would just offer you to be open-minded to that concept. My experience tells me that when there's something on the agenda or when there's something going on that affects people, they adjust their schedules to be at the meeting, and they'll pack the house. But when it's not, you have what you have today.
Well, I mean, I do think that this particular subject matter of recreation, the 9 o'clock time, I suspect works better for the heavy users of recreation, the parents and seniors. I think probably if they want to be engaged, would be better served by the 9 o'clock than the afternoon time.
I'm not sure about that,
so I don't know.
Well, I mean, if the idea is to engage a greater swath of the population,
well, that's true.
Then part of the reason why we might not see other folks engaged in recreation is because the meeting times are not conducive. I agree that it either needs to be really early or really late. I think is what we're going for. If 8 o'clock is open, I think the problem is most people go to work at 8:30, and so at 9 o'clock they're already in the office, so it's like, well, I have to leave the office. If it was at an 8 o'clock, that time would be probably a little bit easier for people to say, yeah, I can just go in there before work, and then I can go into work a little bit late.
And that's that's a good point.
I would say 8:30 because parents are still getting middle schoolers out the door closer to 8. If we were going to go on the earlier side, but I think 8:30 wouldn't be bad.
So for the 12th, what time of day you want to shoot for?
Well, if we're going with the morning, that might open up the days.
Open up other days for you.
We had a conflict if we had things scheduled like Monday
the 5th.
Oh,
that's
Monday
true. The 5th early would be.
The 5th early is fine, or the 8th early is fine.
I would vote for the 5th,
That give you enough time, Normie?
Yeah.
8:30 on the 5th? Is that what we want to do?
Sounds good.
Okay.
And historically, these committee meetings are not too long.
Yeah, this one's
they're
gone
usually
a little bit longer
because
today, Norma Jean wanted to sort of give you an orientation.
I did. I thought it was important to explain a couple of things. And
okay, so if there's no further business, is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
All right.
Thank you. You're very welcome.
On to personnel.